Chapter 4. Can Those Be Stars? For more than an hour, Charles Lindbergh had been waiting for the moon to rise. Squeezed as he was into the tiny cockpit of the Spirit of St. Louis, he might as well have been the loneliest man in the world, flying alone in the inky dark somewhere high above the North Atlantic, while all around him towering thunderheads were pulsating and growling with pinkish-yellow lightning flashes. It was May 20th, 1927. The meteorologist's report that morning had indicated clearing skies. It was wrong. For the first time, he thought of turning back. Years afterward, Lindbergh mused about it in his book, The Spirit of St. Louis. "Great cliffs tower over me," he said, as he threaded his way among the giant clouds boiling with electricity. "They ward me off with icy walls. There'd be no rending crash if my wings struck one of them," he said. "They carry a subtler death. To plunge into these mountains would be like stepping in quicksand." It was the 16th hour since he'd left Long Island's Roosevelt Field. He'd soared across the Long Island Sound, over New England, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and Labrador, where he'd turned east across the great ocean. It had been 4 long hours since he lost both land and light. A final glance backward at sunset, past huge icebergs 10,000 feet below, to the sun's last rays on the silhouette of the mountains that stood out against the western sky. It was the last he would see of America for a while, and he felt almost as if he were traveling through outer space, displaced, unconnected. There was nothing now before him but thousands of miles of ocean. He was 25 years old. That had been 4 hours ago, the last of America, but now he wavered. It was nearly 11 p.m., and ahead the storm clouds piled up in great columns, while Lindbergh maneuvered to wiggle through the valleys between them, which wasn't always possible. The Spirit of St. Louis shuddered as it entered a turbulent cumulus, and Lindbergh was sensitive to each jerk and spasm. It felt at times that some violent, invisible hand had seized his aircraft and was determined to shake it to pieces. Inside the cloud was all black darkness, with no clouds below to judge for distance, no stars above to guide by. Nothing but the burning flash of his engines.